Tamro in Accra with the WGXC Morning Show, and we have a full morning show for you today. We're going to hear from Jenny Getty and Amanda Lees from Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda about what local movies are showing. We're going to hear from Irna Johnson, the founder of Medical Relief for Ukraine, a nonprofit group holding a fundraiser July 24th in Sheffield. She talked with Randall Martin about the fundraiser and about the efforts to help Ukraine. And we're going to hear from the Reverend Molly Dow Baum, the youth director at the First Presbyterian Church in Albany, about the controversy over the drag story hour at the Bethlehem Public Library this week. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network.
This is Donna of Donna and Honey's Love Motel, and you're listening to WGXC Accra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
There are so many things to do in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, including on Saturday, August 19th, from 11:30 a.m. to 9 p.m., it's time for the Deep in the Valley 2023 Festival. Raven Sings the Blues presents a second year of Psych Jam experimental country and folk bands performing, this year with Riley Walker, $75 Bill, Garcia Peoples, Sun Watchers, The Weeping Bong Band, Gold Dust, Ned Collette, and Gliders performing. That's at the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook on Saturday, August 19th, the Deep in the Valley Festival. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Henry Lowengard of Kingston, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra with the WGXC Daily News for Wednesday, July 12th. Go to the WGXC newsroom, wgxc.org, for more information about any of these stories. Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that the Caro-Durham Central School District Board of Education voted on July 6th to make Catherine Dodig the new high school principal. Dodig was previously a mathematics teacher at the Catskill Middle School. David Proper has been interim principal since March 9th after Jeremy Moore resigned on February 16th. The school district did not reveal why Moore left. Dudig was born and raised in Saugerties and coached soccer and softball in Catskill. Dudig said, quote, "I am eager to familiarize myself with the community and its members over the upcoming months and am passionate about bringing community pride to life both inside and outside of the school buildings," unquote. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Rachel Silberstein reports in the Times Union that the New York Attorney General Letitia James said July 11th that she is closely monitoring the planned closure of the Burdett Birth Center in Troy. The closure would eliminate the only birthing facility in Rensselaer County. 2019, Columbia Memorial Hospital in Hudson ended birthing services at the only birthing facility in Columbia County. Greene County also does not have a birthing facility. There have been reproductive and birthing services at the Samaritan Hospital's Burdett Birth Center since 2011, when it was formed out of a merger between the maternity units of Samaritan Hospital and St. Mary's Seton Health. So the shrinking of birthing services locally has been going on for years. James said, quote, "I am very concerned about the proposed closure of Burdett Birth Center in Rensselaer County. This decision would have an adverse effect on residents in this county and throughout the region," unquote. A representative from the Attorney General's office has met with lawmakers, hospital executives, and state health officials about the closure by St. Peter's Health Partners. Hospital officials say the birthing unit loses $2.3 million annually. A bipartisan group of elected officials from the Capital Region sent James a letter asking her to step in on July 10th. The letter said, quote, in part, quote, "While we do understand some of the issues raised by Trinity, we do not believe this is the only option to address those issues, and the reasons for closure do not seem entirely consistent with the rationale we have been provided to date. It does not appear to us that best efforts were made to avoid the closure, but instead that it had been planned," unquote. Troy's Democratic Mayor Patrick Madden and Rensselaer Republican County Executive Steve McLaughlin are among the diverse politicians who signed the letter. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Melanie Lekasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that Queemans is considering stopping some residents from keeping cows, cattle, horses, ponies, donkeys, mules, pigs, goats, sheep, chickens, roosters, ducks, and geese. Proposed local law number 8 of 2023 would prohibit farm animals and fowl from the commercial, business, and industrial zones in the town. Queemans board members have already heard complaints about the proposal and may make changes at the July 13th to remove the industrial zone animal prohibition. Resident Emily Zinkin has land surrounding her home is zoned industrial for the town of Queemans, and at a public hearing June 22nd, said she wanted to keep her sheep, saying, quote, "Our two sheep, goat, and pig are beloved pets. They keep us sane during hard times and greatly improve not only the quality of our lives, but the quality of our land," unquote. Town Supervisor George McHugh said the town council could let the industrial zones have animals, saying, quote, "Frankly, the complaints that we're receiving are not from the industrial zones. They are from the commercial and business districts," unquote. Queemans officials will debate the issue more at the July 13th town meeting. Read more about this story in the upstater.com. Read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, July 12th. Local early morning temperatures range from 59 degrees in Medusa to 69 in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 70 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be low. Today we'll have a comfortable morning turning hot by 10 a.m. Rain chances roll through by noon and we hit a high temperature of 86 at 2 p.m. Rain ends by dark. Overnight we'll feel muggy and dip to 65 degrees. Tomorrow rain chances will be light in the morning and heavier in the afternoon. A high of 82 happens at 1 p.m. Overnight, rain continues and we see a low of 68 degrees. Friday, rain all day, high of 79. Saturday, high of 86 with rain in the afternoon. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 6:05 a.m., high tide at 11:32 a.m., and low tide once again at 6:06 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 75 degrees and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 8:18 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:27 a.m. Looking way up, we see the sun is cranky with X-class flare chances at 20%. Plasma winds will be slow at 312 kilometers per second with a thin density of 4 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently closed above 15 megahertz, terrible below till dark, then fair only below 8 megahertz overnight. There are no chances for aurora currently present, but that could change. The current sunspot number is 227, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, urging you to head on over to WGXC.org, click the donate button at the top of the page, and become one of the sustaining supporters that helps keep this station going.
The way I understand it, this person came into your home and stole all of your radios.
Every radio I had to my name.
Mm-hmm. Including transistors?
Yes. Well, he left me one earplug, I'll say that for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, did he take anything else?
Just the radios. And a couple of pieces of fruit.
I see. Well, what...
A banana and 2 Kadota figs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't deny him the fruit.
No. Are you and your husband going to replace the radios?
Well, we'll have to. Arthur is late for work because he has no radio to keep reminding him of the time and traffic conditions.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing to keep me company while I work around the house.
I can imagine.
We have a 10-room house. We had a radio in every room.
Then he stole all 10 radios?
11.
11.
He also stole the car.
Who listens to radio? Only 150 million people. That's all.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda here on Marvelous WGXC. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Amanda.
It's great to be here on finally a not rainy, hot, beautiful, clear day.
It's so nice. It's not humid out. It's just sunny.
I know.
It's beautiful.
Oh, the humidity. We get into talking about what's playing in the theaters around us. Should we talk a little bit about this great station?
Yes, we should. It's the Summer Pledge Drive for WGXC. Welcome. We are looking to add some sustaining supporters to our beautiful array of existing sustaining supporters. For as little as, I believe, 17 cents a day,
yeah,
you can become a sustaining supporter of WGXC and keep incredible programs like us on the airwaves.
Yeah, so wow. Community radio is so special. This station allows for shows like ours and really, like, yeah, such a beautiful bouquet of strange and wonderful shows to be on the air without ads. The radio that we all feel nostalgic for, that we hear in, like, movies and stuff, where there isn't just, we're not inundated with, like, iHeartRadio stuff. Sorry, no offense, iHeartRadio, but
get them. Get them.
Yeah, community radio and, like, radio funded by you, the listener, is what allows us to have this wonderful, varied programming without ads. It's radio how we see in the, quote, good old days in movies, and there's not a lot of us left. So if you could head to WGXC.org/donate and just, like, $5 a month, you're not going to, I mean, some of us might, you know, notice $5, but most of us, I think we can handle missing $5 a month to support something that's really, really, really valuable.
It's a really special place. We have definitely lost some supporters this year because of the rising cost of living, as everybody is aware of. And so if you feel any kind of love for this radio station, which gives you such diverse voices with no agenda, it's truly just anybody who wants a radio show can apply and have one and say their piece. Anyone can call in to WGXC and talk about what's happening in the news and what's going on with them and share their thoughts and their feelings. It's such a special, like, democratized place. And so WGXC is really looking for some support right now. Because, yeah, it's, as we know, a lot of people in this community leave it, lose their jobs, can't, you know, contribute because it, or can't contribute financially to things like the radio because it is, like, you know, it's a really tough time out there right now.
It's really intense. Yeah, I don't mean to speak so flippantly about $5. It's true. Every cent counts, especially these days. But if you feel comfortable and you feel like you can spare at the lowest $5 a month.
Especially if you're like a new resident to this area, if you've got a little bit of cash in your pocket, like toss it at the radio. It's a great way to support your local community and like be a part of what makes this little area so great. Exactly. It's like WGXE. Everybody loves it. It's a really special thing that not a lot of towns still have. Like,
it's true.
A really incredible independent radio, truly like not beholden to anybody.
Yeah.
It's a really special thing.
Except the FCC, but
after 10 p.m. you can say whatever you want.
You can cuss on the airwaves.
You can cuss on the airwaves. Here, we would never.
No.
We would simply never
absolutely
cuss.
Not. We're 7 to 8. We are legally not allowed to cuss on the airwaves, and we ain't gonna be effing and jeffing out here.
You won't be hearing that from us. But if you do want to hear that, you could turn it at 10 p.m.
Yes, exactly. You can also on WGXC.org, you can check out all the various types of programming that we have. There is so much. You can get local news, which, you know, also gone are the days where someone throws a paper on my porch that tells me about what's going on in my neighborhood. But I can always tune into WGXC and hear about national and local news. There's also an event calendar, a local event calendar on WGXC.org. That's an extremely helpful tool. If you have an event that you want to talk about, you can submit it to the website and have them post it.
Yeah.
They're truly an invaluable like community resource.
Yeah, it's incredibly vital to keep WGXC on the air, both so you can hear us like, you know, chit chat about movies, but also just so you can be aware of what's going on in your community and hear about what's going on. Listen to the like events listed on the community calendar. Anybody can call in at any time just to like share their feelings. It's such a special thing. And so Amanda and I are both sustaining donors because we believe in the radio so much. That's part of why we're here. If you want to be a part of that, head on over to wgxc.org/donate.
Yes.
It's a really special thing. Not a lot of people have this kind of resource, and it's just lovely.
Yeah, I feel endlessly lucky and grateful to have, not only just to have WGXC in my region, but also to be able to be on these airwaves. And you can be a part of it too if you want to apply for a show. That's another beautiful thing about this community radio station is that you can apply to have a talk show like ours, where when I say talk show, we just talk to each other.
Chit-chat, baby.
Or you can come and play some tunes early morning, late night, mid-afternoon, whatever.
Love to hear music on WGXC. It's always exciting.
Yeah. So I'm going to repeat it again. Head to wgxc.org/donate and become a sustaining supporter today. We could really, really use your help.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you for listening. Yeah. Also, as always.
And as always, before we get into our theme, we're going to both tell you about what's playing in the theaters around here. And I'm going to start with what's playing at the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie, New York. That's in Greene County, which is also part of the WGXC region.
It is.
So they are open Wednesday through Sunday now. They open at 7:30, but the shows start around 8:50 since it gets dark pretty late. Now playing, we have Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
I can't wait. I hear it's great, dude.
I know. I bet it's great. So the Highway Drive-In has 4 screens, and each screen has a double feature. So on screen 1, we have the new Mission Impossible and then the original Top Gun. Screen 2 is Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny and Wes Anderson's Asteroid City. Mm-hmm. Screen 3 is Wayne's World 2 and So I Married an Axe Murderer.
We got fun.
I know. And screen 4 is Insidious, The Red Door, and No Hard Feelings. So that's at the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie. You can find out more at HIWAYDriveIn.com.
Wow. And now I shall tell you what's playing at the Upstate Films locations. The first location is in Rhinebeck, also known as the Star Cinema. And this week we have Asteroid City, Tokyo Stories, Past Lives, The Miracle Club, Hopper, an American love story about the painter, Biosphere, Mandabi, and France, presented by Jack Fervor. And then heading on over to the Socrates upstate location, which is also known as the Orpheum Theater, we have Asteroid City, Joyride, No Hard Feelings, Past Lives, Barbie Liberation Organization with Igor Vamos, and A Conversation. Rick Linklater and Ethan Hawke talk cinema. I wonder if that's Richard Linklater. I'm going to click on it just to find out.
Rick Linklater.
It must be. Oh, it absolutely is. It's Richard Linklater. Also known as Rick. And that's on Thursday, July 20th. So if you would like some more information about any of these showtimes, you can head on over to upstatefilms.org to find out more. And that's your Upstate.
So at Drive-In 32, otherwise known as the Greenville Drive-In in Greenville, New York, right off of Route 32, we have a lot going on. It's kind of scattered, so stick with me. On Wednesday, July 12th, tomorrow, we have a family night movie. We have Monsters, Inc. And then on July 15th, we have one of my favorite comedies of all time, Airplane.
Oh, yeah, baby.
On July 16th, we have Hearts of the West. On July 19th, we have Ratatouille for Family Night. And then we have Christmas in July on July 22nd with Nightmare Before Christmas. And then on July 23rd, we have National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation for part of Christmas in July. And then on July 26th, we have Enchanted for Family Night.
Wow.
And then also on their website, which is very exciting for me, who has another job as a karaoke host, on July 28th, I will be there hosting karaoke if you want to sing karaoke on the very, very big screen.
So fun.
So that's July 28th. All of this also starts around 8:50 when the sun goes down. If you want to find out more about all these events, you can head to drivein32.com.
Wow, that's so exciting. Yeah. Oh my God, I can't wait to do karaoke on the big screen.
Oh, it's so thrilling. Fun. It's so fun.
All right, so now I'm going to head on over to Chatham on the east side of the river and tell you about what's playing at the Crandall Theater. We have simply two films to watch. The first is Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, and the second is Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1. If you'd like to know more about those specific showtimes, head on over. CrandallTheater.org.
Wow,
Crandall, that's all I got for you.
You're usually like reading a long list.
It's
for
usually
Crandall.
1 million movies, but right now, baby, we are just showing Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, and then it's Mission Impossible for weeks.
Yeah, we're stepping aside for the big summer blockbusters.
Yep,
that's smart.
Tis the time.
All right, so next I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have, of course, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, and Sound of Freedom, which looks like it's starring the guy who played Jesus.
It is. I think it's a propaganda film. Oh. I whisper to the radio. I'm pretty sure. I'm not posy about that. I think it's in the same genre, generously, as like God's Not Dead. I'm not posy, but I think it's one of those movies that's like,
it does have the guy who played Jesus
and Jim Caviezel.
I know, which I remember when my mom took me to the movie theater to see, I was about to call it Crimes of Passion.
The Passion of the Christ.
Which, let's be honest, was a crime of passion.
Yeah.
She was like, it's special because his initials are JC. Just like Jesus Christ.
Wasn't he also struck by lightning during the filming of The Passion of the Christ?
Of course, if you're going to play him in a movie. But yeah, I've never heard of this movie. It says based on the incredible true story. But anyways, these are what's playing at the Wyndham Theater. You can find out more at WyndhamTheater.com. That's spelled WindhamTheater.com.
All right, and now for my last movie theater to tell you about, I'm going to tell you about what's happening at our little local theater, TSL, in Hudson. It's very simple. It's truly one movie. It's called Workmeister Harmonies. What is it? I don't know. You're going to have to Google it, my friends. But let me tell you, you can go to timeandspace.org to find out more about the showtimes and also what it is, because I don't know.
No idea.
It's got a really weird-looking cover. It's cool. There's... Yep, nope, it's gone. We just don't know. We really couldn't say what it's about. So
looks like a whale on the cover.
It looks like a whale, maybe, like a beautiful eyeball. So I would suggest, if you were interested, heading to timeandspace.org to find out more about showtimes and also what the hell you're buying a ticket for.
What else they got going on?
That's literally it. That's all they have. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing scheduled for TSL. I think they're taking a little break because they had their 50th anniversary recently.
That's right. That makes sense.
And so, yeah, I think they're doing like a gentle little summer break for movies. But check back in. We'll check back in 2 weeks and see what's happening then.
All right. Well, now, last but not least is the Spotlight Cinemas in Hudson. That is the 8-screen movie theater that's on Fairview Avenue. We have Insidious, The Red Door, Asteroid City, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken, Joyride, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Sound of Freedom, Elemental, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. You can find out more about showtimes and tickets at spotlightcinemas.com and make sure you use the drop-down menu to select the Hudson, New York Theater.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
During the auto bailout, when times were hard, our members and our retirees made the sacrifices for these companies. We still continue to sacrifice. That ends now.
United Auto Workers President Sean Fain says he'll forego the traditional handshake with automaker executives as contract negotiations begin this week. Union leaders want to eliminate a two-tier wage system where new hires make up to 25% less than their seasoned co-workers and want to ensure workers benefit from the transition to electric vehicles. The automakers plan to build joint venture factories with battery companies in Indiana, Michigan, Kentucky, and Tennessee. Bank of America will reimburse customers more than $100 million and pay more in fines for so-called double-dipping on overdraft fees. Senator Raphael Warnock of Georgia says it was most often those who could least afford to pay the fees who were affected.
Typically, these lower-income folks are already struggling financially. These fees make conditions worse and can keep them trapped in a cycle of debt.
A grand jury seated Tuesday in Atlanta will likely consider criminal charges for former President Donald Trump and his allies for their efforts to overturn his 2020 election loss in Georgia. Trump has been under investigation there after calling Georgia's Secretary of State to suggest election officials help find enough votes to beat Democrat Joe Biden.
So what are we going to do here, folks? I only need 11,000 votes. Fellas, I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break.
Meanwhile, lawyers for Trump have asked a federal court in Florida to postpone their criminal trial in the classified documents case, saying Trump's presidential campaign schedule makes the current trial schedule untenable. Protesters gathered at the Iowa Capitol Tuesday as the legislature began a special session focused exclusively on passing a 6-week abortion ban. Iowa House Democratic leader Jennifer Confress told CBS Republicans are not allowing ample time for debate.
We will not stop until Iowans know that Democrats are the only people in this building committed to protecting reproductive freedom.
Abortion is currently legal up to 20 weeks in Iowa. The EPA is enforcing stricter limits on hydrofluorocarbons used in refrigerators and air conditioners. EPA Administrator Michael Regan says the administration will impose a 40% reduction next year as part of a global phase-out designed to slow climate change.
We're facing a climate crisis, no doubt, and if we rally the world, it's not too late.
HFCs produce greenhouse gases considered thousands of times more powerful than carbon dioxide. And a storm that dumped up to 2 months of rain in 2 days in the Northeast is flooding communities, including Vermont's capital city, where a dam is threatening to overflow. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A group organized to repeal ranked choice voting in Alaska may have used a church's nonprofit status to avoid disclosing donor information, according to a complaint filed with the Alaska Public Offices Commission. Alaska Public Media reports that a complaint by Alaskans for Better Elections alleges that the Ranked Choice Education Association was formed as a wing of Wellspring Fellowship with the purpose of providing funding to repeal Ballot Measure 2 implemented in 2022. Ballot Measure 2 creates a top four system for congressional races, establishes open primaries, and employs ranked choice voting for general elections. It also mandates campaign transparency for dark money contributors. Wellspring Fellowship's pastor, Dr. Arthur Mathias, is also the president of Ranked Choice Education Association, which registered as a, quote, church-integrated auxiliary of Wellspring. Ranked Choice Education Association, in turn, made contributions to Alaskans for Honest Elections, which is collecting signatures for a ballot initiative to overturn Ballot Measure 2. Political contributions are not tax-deductible, and overt political activity by churches can jeopardize federal nonprofit status. The complaint accuses both organizations of not reporting contributions and possible misrepresentation of those donations. We have a link to the report and the full complaint at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
And we are on, folks. Kieran here with you. Creative community radio shows constantly coming your way here on WGXC. We didn't even talk about the pledge drive situation that's just about kicking off and starting now. And we're going through the 21st, and we're absolutely and completely encouraging our folks listening to become a monthly sustaining donor. Become a donor of this community radio project. It's free speech radio. It's independent. It is community-based. It is creative. It is what allows us to have some sort of break from the corporate monopoly on the media right now, which 90% of the media in the United States of America is controlled by approximately 3, 4, 5 corporations. It's sort of like the beer industry. It's absolutely a travesty. And what you get with the four corporations that control the beer is really crappy beer. And it's just very similar to the media, I have to say, in my humble opinion here as your community radio host, Kieran, here with you.
With your host, Randall Martin. And, you know, last year, actually, no. This was a couple of years ago. I was going to say last year. But, you know, I had spoken to and met up with Father Pascal and the people from the Ukrainian church here. And that started a whole, and he gave a wonderful interview about what was happening at the church. And it blossomed into a whole bunch of activities, including many fundraisers and a whole bunch of good things happening with the Ukrainian church here in Hudson and all the volunteers selling products to help the war effort that's going over there in terms of providing medical relief and providing vital resources to the people back in the Ukraine, because as you know, we have a lot of Ukrainians here in Hudson. And so today, you know, fast forward today, I'm speaking now with Irena Johnson, one of the founders of Medical Relief for Ukraine, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening over there and an event that they have coming up. Irena, how are you?
Yes, hi, Randall. I'm fine. Yourself?
I am good. I feel so, it feels a little strange that we have been on the radio for a couple of almost like a month and a half because of the election that we had here, but it feels so good to be back and talking to people in the community. And let's get into, for people who don't know you and don't know your organization, can you kind of give me a brief summary of kind of what you guys do and what's happening right now currently in the Ukraine?
Hi, all. Thanks, Randall, for opportunity to speak for public. Ukrainian-Russian war, the war of the century, and it lasts already 502 days. It's hard to believe. For this 502 days, this war led to the fastest growing refugee crisis since World War II, with 6.3 million people forced to flee Ukraine since February 24, 2022. An additional 6 million are internally displaced within Ukraine. Businesses in Ukraine have suffered at least 11.3 billion damages, usually thriving agricultural sector lost about 8.7 billion. According to the Kyiv School of Economics, the cost of replacing damaged buildings and infrastructure is believed to top 143.8 billion. So many people help Ukraine in one way or another. Our organization got its nonprofit status in April this year, but we start to work last year in February. And for these months, we provided different aid to Ukrainians. We bought ambulances, medical drones and supplies, generators, innovative equipment for the rehabilitation center. So our new event is a gala on July 24th.
Well, hold on, before we get into the gala, I just want to just expand that a little bit, because you guys have been for the past 500 days, almost, you know, you guys almost got started right away once the war was underway. We're really providing such important relief to people, you know, to civilians, to soldiers who had been injured in this war. And you mentioned a lot of the destruction and the damage. And I think it's, you know, people, what they've had to endure on a daily basis, the shelling of their homes, of their businesses, of everything. How is this impacted? I know you have family there, so this is a very sensitive subject in time. How has that impacted the people in your country from your perspective?
Yes, thank you for the question. I mentioned the rehabilitation center. Mm-hmm. We are part of this program, and we are very proud of that. Our first big purchase was to buy this very special machine for the people with damaged spinal cord, mm-hmm, and brain. Mm-hmm. So as the longer war lasts, the more people are injured, is a serviceman, it's a civilians. And let me explain how it works. There is the program started in Los Angeles, California. The name of the program, Next Step Fitness. You can easily find the information online.
Okay.
This program operates according to the U.S. rehabilitation standards and helps paralyzed people for any causes. It could be military or it could be civilian, but simple stroke. With this high level of innovative machine used for rehabilitation. So we are very proud to be a partner of another powerful Ukrainian organization who starts to operate in the beginning of the war. You know, we consider war started in 2014 with Crimea was taken. Mm-hmm. So this foundation, Revival Soldiers Ukraine, opened their first rehabilitation center in Irpin in Kyiv region in 2019. And now we are almost ready to open the new one in Lviv. That for the Lviv, we bought our first equipment. So rehabilitation specialists from Ukraine have been trained at this program, which I mentioned in Los Angeles, Next Step Fitness. And now they are implementing their knowledge and skills while working with Ukrainian suffered people injured in this war. And the event I mentioned, we are very proud to invite the founder of this partner of ours. Her name is Irina Vashuk.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So she went through all these steps, and she considered us as a valuable addition to this big Ukrainian program. Besides her, we expected two servicemen who are coming for the prosthesis. We are also one of our you know, like founder and people who donate, we provided this monetary support, because innovative prosthesis service quite, you know, quite expensive here in the United States. However, with proper done artificial legs, people are able not only walk, they are able to run the marathon. And we had such an example under the revival soldiers.
And so that's one of the impacts. And I want people to really, you know, when we think about it, you see it from the comfort of your home. You see it on CNN. You see it, you know, it's a whole different, you see it on the media. It's a whole different thing to be there and have your streets shelled, or there's landmines, there's all sorts of, there's missiles being fired into buildings. And so as a result of all of these, this constant attack for 500 days, you know, you've got a lot of people that have missing limbs, you know, as you say, injured spines, all sorts of bodily damage. And it's not easy to get those folks out into hospitals, and even the hospitals are attacked. So, you know, what you guys are doing is so important, because it's, you know, you can't get them all out to another country to get these types of surgeries. They, you know, they have to get, you know, do a lot of this stuff locally to save lives and to give people a chance to have a healthy body again. So this is a big thing that you guys are doing with the prosthesis and all the other type of specialized surgeries to give people, you know, a chance to walk and have use of their limbs again.
That's right, and I'm glad you understand the idea. Instead of move people around their world, it's much more beneficial to keep them rehabilitated in Ukraine, because first of all, we create jobs in Ukraine, we train a high level of specialists, and since war is not over, and the demand of such a rehabilitation just increase. So you're absolutely right about our perspective. And we also, speaking about upcoming event.
Tell us about this upcoming event and what's going to be happening there and where it's going to be.
Yes. Before that, you mentioned our activist. And there is only few Ukrainian in area, so we rely on American people. Some mm-hmm. of our volunteers never heard about Ukraine, but they came to our destination and they help a lot. If I allow to say something about other Hudson organization and mention two volunteer of ours, it's Claire and Linda, and they are from Animal Kind organization. So uh-huh. I try to say that we all work together in this Columbia County and rely on Hudsonian help and involvement. So now about event. This event, Ukrainian Gala for Medical Relief for Ukraine, for Rehabilitation Center in Lviv, going on Monday, July 24th at Racebrook Lodge at since 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. The address is 864 Under Mountain Road in Sheffield, Massachusetts. It's only 25 minutes drive from Hudson, but we try to achieve a new auditory. We move a little further away from New York. It's a Berkshire Mountain, and we want to provide our mission to talk to world, to spread our information, to let more and more people know what's going on in Ukraine, not only from news, which is important, but also from the source, from native Ukrainian whose family are in Ukraine. So, as I said, we expect besides of really good speakers,
well, you're going to have my buddy Malcolm Nance is going to be there. I'm the producer of his podcast.
He's going to be there speaking.
Yep.
It's a very exciting, and we're looking forward to see this prominent man who spent a lot of time in Ukraine, and
Stay tuned to WGXC 90.7 FM Wednesday, July 12th for all sorts of great programming during our Summer Silent Pledge Drive. At 10 a.m., it's time for Modern Jet Set with brand new music from Rahil, Dubmatics, and Atmosphere. Maria Manhattan is in the Hudson Studio at 11 a.m. with the Hudson Cafe. Then we head to Catskill with Spike Priggen and the Bedazzled Radio Hour for 2 hours at noon. 3 p.m., the Radio Survivor Show talks about the latest in radio news. And at 4 p.m. on the WGXC Afternoon Show, we'll hear from musician Jennifer Jackson, who's making two stops in Catskill the next 2 days for performances. We'll hear from Larry Federman about the Ramshorn Livingston Sanctuary in Catskill. We'll hear from members of the Waterfall Unity Alliance about Native American history in Schoharie Valley. And we'll hear the WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the latest news from the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st congressional districts. Then at 7 p.m., we're live from Brooklyn with Off the Hook, simulcast live from WBAI in New York City. And at 8 p.m., we're live from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with performances from singer-songwriters Mary Claire, Leah Thomas, and Bridge Gamble. And then at 10 p.m., we're live from ACRA with Nighttime with Christopher Michael Hefner on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
The upcoming drag story hour planned for this Thursday at Bethlehem Public Library drew a crowd of about 60 people at a recent Library Board of Trustees meeting. The 50 speakers, according to the Times Union, were actually relatively evenly divided. Opponents argued that drag story hours promotes the sexualization and grooming of children. The library director responded that such events highlights the theme of community inclusiveness and celebrating diversity. We are joined today by one of the speakers at the Reverend Molly Dalbaum, who is the youth director of the First Presbyterian Church of Albany. So Reverend Baum, what was your message at the hearing?
Thank you. And it's Reverend Dalbaum. It's a double last name. I attended the public library board meeting which the board meeting happened on Monday night. And it was some residents who were very enraged at the fact that the drag story hour was going to happen at all at the library, and wanted to ask the library board to cancel the event. And unfortunately, recently there has been a similar event canceled in Lake Lucerne area because of sort of intimidation, this type of intimidation. And it's important to me as a faith leader, as a follower of Jesus, as a nonviolent, that I don't cede Christianity or cede the Bible over to anybody who I think is really misquoting it and using it to actually abuse people and to terrorize. That some of the things that were brought by concerned residents were, you know, pictures from the drag performers' personal accounts that are about drag shows that are for adults and not really about drag story hour. And we all have, you know, lives in which we interact with children sometimes and we act one way. And when we enter our adult private lives, we may act differently. We may use different words. We may wear different clothing. And I think it's a distraction. And I think it's honestly really dangerous. It's anti-democratic. And honestly, it's really, in my opinion, it's anti-Christian. So it's important to me to provide a Christian witness that is supportive of drag story hour. I introduced myself as a pastor, a youth director. I'm also a queer woman myself. I'm also the parent, one of whom identifies as under the transgender umbrella as gender fluid. And my kids have been to a drag story hour recently. This is not the first time that the Hudson Mohawk library system has had drag story hours. There have been, there was one that Albany sponsored at the museum earlier in June that my children attended, and they walked through people hurling insults and like saying that, you know, God is against, like, this is wrong. And that's just not the God that I understand as the God of love. And so it was really important to me to speak out and say, you know, that's not what's happening here. And we can, you can actually do your research and see exactly what the Drag Story Hour is about. You can look at Albany Public Library's YouTube and see Noelle Diamond perform and read and do you know, songs and lovely stories that are from books that are already in our library system. So I think this is a an important moment that people of good will, people who believe in love, and people of faith, people who practice religion, people who practice no religion, to stand up for our neighbors and say, this is, you know, there's no reason to bring this hatred into it. And we want to provide love and real research and support nonviolently to children. And like, yes.
Now, in, there was an article in the Times Union, and, you know, they mentioned there were some young speakers, including one, I believe as young as 9 years old. You know, what were some of the positions or issues that some of the younger people in the crowd raised?
Sure. Well, in fact, two of the children who spoke were my children. In fact, they've grown up going to social justice rallies for healthcare and housing, and going to Washington for the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, doing anti-poverty initiatives and anti-racism initiatives, and all these things that is we're deeply rooted in doing because of our Christian faith. And so I had my kids with me that night, and I told them what was going to happen, that I was going to speak, that some people were against, you know, wanted to cancel the story hour, and that anybody could speak. So like, if they wanted to speak, they could, and just invited them to what they would say would be why they think the story Drag Story Hour is a good thing and why they want to go to it, why it should, you know, happen. And my youngest is 8, and she was adamant that she wanted to speak, that she needed to speak. And she talked about how she found, she's been to Drag Story Hours and she finds them fun. I mean, and this is a girl who, like, dress up is her thing and fashion is her thing. So like, seeing, you know, a person who's totally fabulous is totally inspiring for her. And she said, you know, she finds it inspiring, and she often then writes her own stories. And I was just very proud of her. And you know, I had given my kids every out, you know, saying like, I support you, and like, you're being really brave. She didn't want to be in the room earlier because of, it was so loud when people would erupt and clap with, you know, clapping, or, you know, when it was getting tense. But she wanted to do it, and she did. And she spoke very, very clearly. I was very proud. My older child, who is exploring her gender fluidity, and sometimes goes by she, her, and sometimes goes by they, them, also spoke and said that it's really important that, and other like middle school and high schoolers who were there very bravely spoke and talked about how it's important for them and their families to be represented and to have a wide, diverse understanding of what gender can be and is. I'm also a sexuality educator trained to do holistic and evidence-based sexuality education. And I know from that training and from raising a child who is figuring out their own gender and it's not fitting in the binary of what society wants. We know that the Trevor organization, which is a transgender rights organization, has reported that in the past year, 41% of LGBTQ plus youth, especially trans identifying youth, have attempted suicide. We know that especially when we know that children start to understand their gender at ages 3 to 5. And so yes, it is appropriate to do this. And like some of the people yesterday were saying, can't have this because it's not appropriate for children. Why would you have preschoolers here? And it's like, well, this is why. And it will be age appropriate, as has been promoted by the Bethlehem Public Library, and as has been very carefully crafted by the skilled and dedicated librarians and staff.
And what were some of the, you know, other than it being age inappropriate, what were some of the key arguments raised against having it?
Unfortunately, there was a lot of misinformation, I think. There was a lot of quoting the Bible that was, I think, weaponized against, you know, individuals who identify as LGBTQ. There was talking about sexualization. And then you had a young person say, stand up and say, like, the only place that I have ever been sexually objectified has been in school. A local social worker and a resident of Del Mar saying that this Thursday at 11 a.m., the Bethlehem Public Library will still host the Drag Story Hour as scheduled. And I'm asking for angels to show up in solidarity with the inclusion of the LGBTQIA plus community in creating space, safe space for those who will be attending the event.
And Reverend Molly Dowbaum, Youth Director, First Presbyterian Church in Albany. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Stay tuned to 90.7 FM WGXC today during our silent pledge drive. We're trying to keep the talk off the air about the pledge drive and just online, but it's a secret. You can make a donation at wgxc.org/donate, and especially you can become a sustaining supporter to keep community radio providing all sorts of different voices on the air at 90.7 FM. We let businesses have a place to talk about what they're selling and let local business thrive. We are a place for local musicians to debut their songs and play live on the radio. WGXC is a place for local youth to have their say and talk about their issues, and a place for senior citizens and everyone else, all ages, on the radio at 90.7 FM. And we hope you can support that at wgxc.org/donate. Become a sustaining supporter during our summer silent pledge drive at wgxc.org/donate. Please help keep diverse community radio on the air, solar powered at 90.7 FM.
I'm Tom Rowe in the WGXC newsroom with the WGXC news update. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that investigators have been able to at least partially see an encrypted video with evidence in the murder of Scott Myers. Greene County District Attorney Joe Stanzione said on July 10th. He did not say what the video revealed. Myers, a local political activist, was stabbed in the neck on November 26, 2021 at his apartment in Catskill after hanging out with Carrie Weiser, who was indicted on a second-degree murder charge in the case. Myers had several surveillance cameras, but the recordings were password protected. Stanzione said the case is in the discovery phase with no trial date announced. Weiser has been jailed without bail, first at the Ulster County Jail and now at the Columbia County Jail, even though Greene County built a new jail recently. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Mid-Hudson News reports that train service locally continues to be disrupted after storms on Sunday and Monday flooded tracks and downed trees. Some Metro North service returned on the Hudson Line on July 11th, but Amtrak service between New York and Albany remains suspended. Metro North is continuing to provide limited bus service for travelers between Croton, Harmon, and Poughkeepsie. CSX Transportation, which runs on the west side of the Hudson River between Selkirk in Albany County and New Jersey, has delays of at least 24 hours because of the flooding. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Raymond Pignone reports in the Columbia Green Media that a Massachusetts beaver whose dam broke recently, flooding the town of New Lebanon, will not be sued but has lost their home. The state of Massachusetts is also probably off the legal hook after the dam broke on June 29th on Smith Mountain within Pittsfield State Forest in Hancock. New Lebanon Town Supervisor Trista Hotling said, quote, "Residents are upset, saying Massachusetts should be held liable, but proving that will be hard. If somebody's home suffered serious damage and they have documented evidence that the state didn't do something it was supposed to do, or if the state has been put on notice and ignored it, I'd have our lawyers on it in a minute. But there's nothing showing," unquote. Department of Environmental Protection Communications Director Elise Woolberg said, quote, the Office of Dam Safety will work with the Department of Conservation and Recreation's wildlife management vendor to identify a solution to prevent the Beaver Dam from being reestablished, unquote. The new Lebanon town hall and 15 to 20 homes were damaged in the deluge, with deposits of silt and debris in backyards and town parks. The dam